blackness. Ryan focused on it, seeing that there was a splash of brilliant crimson close behind the bobbing white spot that he knew had to be Jack Lauren. Christie was right on his heels. They were closer to the Ronin than he'd expected, less than 100 yards and moving cautiously upward.
Time to get started.
Ryan set the sight and calculated drift and windage, then took up the pressure on the trigger again, the walnut stock firm against his shoulder. He peered again through the sight, seeing to his chagrin, the samurai who had appeared to be in charge of the Ronin was unwounded. At a quick first glance, it looked as if he'd completely missed. Then he saw a man just to the left of his target clutch at his chest and fold onto the ground. At nearly a half mile across the valley, it wasn't possible to hear any shouts or screams, but he could watch the silent movie scrolling on. Instant panic erupted among the gun's crew as they realized that they were under fire themselves. Ryan had to keep shooting before they realized where the bullets were coming from and took cover. He didn't just want to stop them shooting the long-barreled gun. It was important to kill as many of the gang of Ronin as possible. He saw three men drop. The samurai had been quickest to react, pointing toward the invisible shootist with a drawn sword, hiding himself behind the body of the revolver cannon.
Fire blast.
Ryan was annoyed with himself for allowing the man to escape him. The wind had to be a little stronger in the valley than he'd allowed for. Of course, to anyone else, it would have been remarkable shooting to put down four men with four bullets at that range.
I wonder if Ryan can see us.
Jack looked ahead of them, up the slope.
Still in cover. Another couple of minutes, and be among them.
Doing good.
As long as he doesn't shoot any of us by mistake. Wind's freshening, bringing the stink of pollution more strongly.
Should we not be talking less and moving more?
You're right, friend. Let's go do it.
The gun emplacement was almost deserted now. As far as Ryan could see through the laser enhancer, four dead men lay sprawled around the revolver cannon, and one wounded man, who looked to be gutshot, rolled back and forth, his mouth open in a scream of agony.
Time to move.
Ryan started to climb down the tree. JB took the lead from Jack as they climbed within a few yards of the concealed gun emplacement.
Ryan stopped shooting.
Mildred glanced over her shoulder across the valley.
He's likely taken out as many as he could, and the rest are hiding.
Or coming this way at a run. We'd best all get ready. Expect the unexpected. Isn't that what Trader used to say, John?
Nope, never said that.
Someone coming.
Ryan found Mashashiga waiting for him, framed between Hideyoshi and Yashimoto.
The wrong gun has fallen into silence. This is your doing, Koda-san?
Yeah. Try to get the samurai leading them.
My brother, Ryuko.
Maybe. Horned helmet, but I missed him. Got about four or five of the men with the Orlikan.
And now we can follow your companions and hope to harm the Ronin.
Hell, why not?
The accuracy of Ryan's sniping had spooked the Ronin who'd been grouped around the gun. They had known that Mashashiga and the Outlanders with him were the better part of a half mile away from them, giving them the good sport of safely using the Orlikan they'd found in a hidden military base a few weeks earlier. They'd saved it for just such an opportunity. And then, the gods turned their backs on them. Bullets had struck from nowhere. Five men were dead. It seemed that every time the marksman had fired his rifle from the distant trees, one of them fell dead or dying. There was no way that any ordinary human could shoot with such accuracy. It had to mean that Mashashiga had enlisted some sort of supernatural help in his fight against them. Now Christie and the others were separated from the gun pit by only a thin screen of pines and some buried bushes. One of the Ronin suddenly appeared through the brush, arms pumping, eyes wide and staring. He hardly seemed to notice the foreigners, carrying on as though he intended running straight past them. His body lay limp against the trunk of a slender, lighted, leprous conifer. Another Ronin appeared, reaching for the Nambu gun holstered at his waist.
Let's go get the Orlikan. Shoot anything that moves.
But the clearing was empty. The only thing living was a fat little man who was trying to push back loops of blood-slick yellow intestines that had slithered out of a gaping exit wound in his stomach.
Nearly done.
Jack paused by the dying Ronin with one of his throwing knives. JB moved quick and cat-like to the far side of the clearing, where a narrow trail wound down the far side of a hogback ridge.
Off and running.
All of them?
Can't be sure. Likely a few taken off in other directions. Panic's real good way of losing your sense of direction. Fact is, it's a good way of losing all your senses.
How we wrecked the gun?
Jack stared at the immensely long barrel of the revolver cannon.
Never seen nothing like it. Not ever.
Easy. Get plenty of mud, Jack. Enough around. Good and thick and rich in stones. And fill the damn blaster with it. Much as you can. Pack it in hard.
Allow me to help. I can't wait to see the effect of John Barrymore's plan. Unless I miss my guess, it will be brutish and spectacular.
While the others worked quickly, jamming mud into the barrel of the revolver cannon, JB rigged up a long lanyard to the firing mechanism, uncoiling it to a safe distance behind the huge weapon. None of the Ronin remained in the area to bother them.
Are you sure that the Shogun won't want to keep the Orlikan for himself?
JB shook his head. He pushed back the fedora, wiped sweat from his forehead, then took off his glasses to give them an extra polish.
Thing this big takes some moving. The Ronin have taken most of their transport. Mashashika doesn't have the manpower to move this baby.
You ready?
Pretty well. Everyone get out of the way, around the back, as far as you all can, and keep alert. Or better, move on down the hill among the trees. I don't know exactly what'll happen when I fire it with the blocked barrel, but it should be good and triple big.
The Styracross Ryan's shoulder was bruising his back as he jogged up the hill, now several yards behind the Shogun. One of the ordinary fighting men who was part of the Ronin's gang suddenly appeared, sprinting for his life, down the narrow path toward them. Ashishiga stopped foursquare in front of him, sword drawn. The Ronin then brought his hands together in prayer and dropped to his knees in front of the Shogun. Ashishiga lashed out. With the sword removed, Ryan could see that there was a great gash in the Ronin's flesh, just above the dark blue cotton sash around his midriff. The man fell on his back, eyes staring at the waving branches of the trees.
Horseman!
Ryan pointed with the barrel of the Six Hour. There were three of them, all in samurai armor, all on small hill ponies. They lay low over the necks, spurring on, not hesitating at the sight of the Shogun and the foreigner standing together, blocking the center of the path. They were coming fast from uphill, all waving swords, faces contorted with hatred under the polished cheek plates of their ornamented helmets.
Mine!
Ryan expected Mashashiga to step aside to give him a clear shot at bringing down all three riders with the Six Hour. But the Shogun stood statue still, the sword out in front of him, point to the earth, seeming totally oblivious to the death that galloped toward him. Ryan had no chance of taking out all three of the enemy samurai. The second shot missed completely, as Mashashiga had shuffled a couple of paces to his left, forcing a split-second alteration of Ryan's aim. There was just time for a third shot. The Shogun was readying himself for a swing at the second mounted warrior, leaving Ryan a chance at the last man in the line. He was surprisingly tall, and his helmet was decorated with a silver life-size skull. Ryan saw the spurt of blood from the man's right shoulder as he lost control of his pony. It gave Ryan the bonus chance of a fourth shot, as horse and warrior careened past him. The bullet hit the man through the side of the throat, under the rim of the brightly enameled helmet, ripping an exit hole the size of a man's fist under his left ear. Two out of three wasn't bad shooting in the cribbed conditions of the twisting trail. Two out of three still left one of the warriors, a skinny man wearing an embroidered green satin kimono over his traditional armor, his long sword poised above his head to cut down at Mashashiga. Ryan was already moving quickly to the side, trying to put one of the pines between him and the charging man, finding it impossible to imagine that even the Shogun could defeat the mounted attacker. But Mashashiga wasn't aiming at the samurai. The heavy sword cut clean through the pony's right foreleg, just above the fetlock, tipping the rider over the animal's head.
Nice job. Not honorable, but honor is a movable feast, as you say. Needs must thrive when devil is at gate. Please shoot horse and put it from misery.
Ryan walked to the dying horse.
I don't think that samurai's dead either.
The helmet was off the man's head, and he was lying on his side.
His name is Mashashita. Once I would have called him a friend, but he chose to run with the wolves and lick the ass of my renegade brother.
You gonna chill him?
Mashashiga shook his head. He looked past Ryan, down among the trees, where Hideyoshi was leading a group of the Sekmen, Yashimoto a little farther behind.
No, we shall take him prisoner back to our fortress.
Both men looked around and saw Jack leading Doc over the